What up? It's another dope episode of Splash Trash Meh.
Podcast on Earth. It's Splash Trash Meh.
Splash Trash
Meh.
Meh.
Meh. Meh. I practice that sound and I don't ever really get it right. Meh.
Meh.
Meh. Meh.
It doesn't really rhyme, but it kind of does. For those who don't know, this is the G Splash Review Show. I'm your host, Bradley Baxter, and tonight's lovely co-host is Pepper Pops Katie.
Hello, everybody.
And on a rating simple, our rating system is very simple. Splash if it's dope, trash if it's trash.
This shit is straight garbage.
And we'll let you know if it's meh or not. Bye.
Meh.
Katie will shrug her shoulders and let you
meh.
Know.
I can't. Like, I just tried to say it without shrugging my shoulders, and my shoulders just went up. Oh, you know. So,
real quick news before we dive into our reviews, which we're doing Zombieland, Double Tap, Jojo Rabbit, and Maleficent. Those all came out this past weekend. Also, we're on a new day. Today is Monday, technically, when you're listening to this, but this will be the new day for Splash Trash Meh instead of Thursday. We will have a fresh movie review for you the next day after the weekend.
Know what to do this next weekend.
Damn right. The other quick news announcement, though, if you're looking to snag your Star Wars tickets, they go on sale tomorrow.
Tomorrow as in Tuesday or today as in Monday?
Sorry, today as in Monday. Very good point. Very good
point. I don't know. We're living in the future right now.
You can't tell, but we are setting it up. All right, let's get into these reviews. First on the list, we have Zombieland Double Tap. Well, now, this is a sequel to the first Zombieland, which came out a decade ago.
Wow, 2009. What a year.
Yes.
And they
definitely reference that long-awaited gap. Katie, won't you tell them what this movie is about?
Well, Zombieland 2 picks up a few years after Zombieland 1 ended. And our friends Little Rock, Columbus, Tallahassee, and Wichita are currently living in the White House and figuring out what to do with some restlessness and some growing pains in their strange little family. And so on this zombie journey, a new zombie has appeared. And a member of the family takes off and they need to go save her.
What do you think of the first one?
Meh. Meh. Shoulder shrug. Meh. Meh. It was okay. I mean, I wasn't mad at it, but in no way would I ever, of my own volition, be like, I'm putting on Zombieland. That was such a good movie.
I really liked the first one. I'm wondering if maybe the time.
Yeah, it totally could have been. It totally could have been that it's, you know, I'm seeing it 10 years later.
Mm-hmm. So what'd you think of this movie, Zombieland 2 Double Tap?
I think it was kind of trash.
Shit is straight garbage.
Why did you think
so
that?
I will say that the idea is, you know, the idea is fun. And I think if you liked, like, the first one, if you splashed the first one, you would probably think this is a meh. But since the first one for me was like, meh, a sequel's rarely, this is not The Godfather, a sequel is rarely better than the first. So wasn't that fun or funny? It didn't seem like anybody really wanted to be filming the movie. Like, Abigail Breslin looked like she would rather be anywhere doing anything else than filming this movie. I didn't think Columbus and Wichita were believable. I will say that I liked Madison. She was fun and she was the one who gave me the laughs. But everything else to me just seemed cheesy and we're making a movie to get the gang back together. And I never think that that's a good reason to make a movie. So if you just thought the first one was okay, you can totally skip this because it's trash.
Shit is straight garbage.
I would strongly disagree with you, but
of course you would.
I loved the first one, and I loved this one. I think this movie's a splash for sure.
Oh,
it's got a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics, as well as 90% from the audience, which is actually a first for me, at least as of late, because I'm usually more agreeing with this critic side, but this time I'm with the fans. I mean, no, I don't think we needed this sequel, but it was a lot of, it was still that whole zombie fun, new, you know, they added some new characters. I thought the duplicate guys with the monster truck.
Flagstaff and Albuquerque, they were fun, but
I just like the dynamic, whatever. How both him and, what was it, Jesse
Columbus
Eisenberg.
Columbus had the rules and
yeah,
and Flagstaff had the commandments. That was fun. Not that fun.
And I thought the end was great. I thought the annoying girl. This is spoilers going forward, by the way. So did you think when she started eating those almonds?
Yes.
Did you get that right away, or did you have to think?
Yeah, I had a feeling simply because my dad had an allergic reaction to almonds that was quite similar.
Ah, yeah, I caught that too. But then when she didn't, when he shot her or like the gunshots went off, I was like, oh, that was weird.
Columbus isn't going to shoot somebody he knows. That's not him.
Well, he hit this that girl that he liked in the apartment in the first one, smacked her in the face.
That was like a self-defense. Also, I don't think that he intended. I think that was more like a manslaughter versus murder in the first.
Did he shoot the dude from Silicon Valley, or did somebody else?
How those went down, but he had known him for like 15 minutes. I just don't see him like. Yeah, I just didn't see him, you know, like shooting a woman that he had slept with in the woods. Spoiler alert, he has sex with Madison because Wichita leaves.
Yeah, big spoiler. I thought it was funny. That dynamic was funny. I like this movie. It's a splash for me.
Okay.
But next on the list, we've got Jojo Rabbit. This is written and directed by Taika Waititi, who's done Thor Ragnarok. Plays Korg. He's got that vampire thing, right? There's another show that he does with the vampires, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this is a World War II satire film, and it follows a lonely German boy whose worldview is turned upside down when he discovers his single mother, ScarJo, is hiding a young Jewish girl in their attic, aided by only his idiotic imaginary friend, Adolf Hitler, who's played by Taika Waititi. Jojo must confront his blind nationalism.
I really wanted to see this. This is the one movie that I was like, yes, and it's not playing in the Twin Cities. So, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a big boo.
Yeah, huge boo.
Saw this movie. It was had everything expected from a Taika Waititi. The jokes are funny. Him as Adolf Hitler in this goofy guy who is basically his little boy. And then the kid in it was actually really good, too. He's like 10, and there's some really good jokes in the movie regarding this. You know, it takes place in Germany while everyone's sent to concentration camps and shit like that. But all in all, I thought this movie was definitely a splash. It got a 77% on Rotten Tomatoes from the critics and 100% from audiences. Wow. So they liked it.
I've never seen it. There could be like 3 people who saw it because it's not available anywhere.
Everybody in the theater that saw it with me loved it. Tons of laughs. There is, I'm not going to spoil this, but now I'll actually get to another question. But there is a kind of a twist in this movie, and you definitely have to see it. I'm not going to call it here.
My
follow-up question to that, though, is like, is telling someone that there's a twist but not telling them there's a twist, or not telling them the twist, is that a spoiler? Do people get mad at that?
I don't think so.
I feel like some people do.
Yeah, I think it makes, for me, it more enticing. Like, if I hear, like, oh, man, there's, like, a twist in this, that I'm going to be more excited and probably pay more attention to the film because I'm going to try to catch any foreshadowing of what the twist is going to be later. So right, I don't mind hearing the twist. I don't want to that there is a twist. I don't want to hear what the twist is.
There is a show called IT Crowd. It's on Netflix. Really great show. And there's one episode where this dude's trying to watch the new Quentin Tarantino movie. And someone calls him and is like, have you seen the new movie? He's like, oh, I'm watching it right now. And he's like, oh, you'll never, like, you won't believe the twist. And he's like, oh, don't tell me there's a twist. Now I'm going to be looking for it. Like, he's like, freaks out. He gets mad about it. So I've always wondered that. This movie hit everything from, you know, this curious little boy trying to follow his country's leader in that whole regime. And he's trying to deal with, his biggest dilemma is like trying to deal with this girl who's stuffed in the attic, and his dad is supposed to be off fighting the war. He wants to learn more about her as a Jew, but she's also has like these advisors. They're kind of telling him all these, like, what happens if someone is hiding a Jew.
Right.
Like, so
you're supposed to turn people in. And what if that person is your mother?
Right. So he just has this conflict because the girl in the attic's telling him, like, if you tell anybody that I'm here, they'll come for me, your mom, and then you, and then they're telling him the same thing, and they're like, why are you asking about this? But then he's also asking the girl for all the Jewish information so that he can, and he starts like writing this book. His movie was great. I definitely think it's one of the best movies of this year.
How do you think it will do at award season? Do you think there'll be any nominations?
I thought about that. I don't know if this is, I feel like
palatable enough.
Yeah, it's there. I don't know if it's award type of movie though.
Right. You
know,
like, is Funny Hitler going to get an Oscar?
That would be, he's definitely not in it enough, I would say, for that. But
but a movie with a funny Hitler, is that going to get up?
Right. I mean, is that going to mix up all kinds of shit? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting. But yeah, probably for that.
Seeing it someday.
Yeah, now that you pointed out, the subject matter is probably going to be stayed away from come award season.
It'll be interesting to see. There's this award season, it's going to be the most invested I've ever been in an award season in a really long time.
That's what happens when you get into the movies.
You see every movie possible.
Yeah. Last on this list is Disney's big blockbuster once more, Maleficent. What's this one called? The Mistress of Evil?
Maleficent 2, The Mistress of Evil.
All right.
A misleading title. Misleading title.
It actually is misleading. And when I read that was the title, I was like, okay. Tell us about this one.
Much like Zombieland Double Tap, we are picking up where the previous film left off, where Maleficent, who has been raising Princess Aurora as her own, is growing up and has fallen in love with Prince Philip, and they are now engaged, which brings a lot of conflict between what Maleficent wants for her daughter and what the new royal family that she will be joining wants for her, for that relationship.
Pretty much right on the money. How do you feel about the movie?
This movie was trash.
Shit is straight.
Which pains me to say.
Why did you think this movie was trash? Without giving spoilers.
It was so visually stunning that you kind of missed that the storyline was a complete ripoff of a combination of Game of Thrones and Avatar.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting.
That's why I thought it was trash, was the storyline was weak, but they made it look really enticing and beautiful that you forgot, like, it didn't make sense and was following the plot lines of other better done shows.
Gotcha. This has a 41% from critics and a 96% from the audience. There was a few things in this movie that I definitely threw my eyebrow up at. And all in all, but I actually really enjoyed this movie. I think
we're never gonna agree again.
Right, I know. I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was a good. It's like a fun story. I'm not a Game of Thrones fan, so maybe that's why it didn't bother me. There was stuff that bothered me. I'm going to give this one a splash. Which I don't think I didn't even think I liked the first one. But I'm going to give it a splash because I enjoyed it. I thought it was... I forgave a lot in this movie too. So.
I mean, I enjoyed it. But when I dialed back and looked at it, and I went with my friend Kale. And at the beginning, we were like... I looked at him and I was like, what is even happening? And then as we were watching it... we would be like, this reminds me of, and I was like, yeah, this is a really strange version of Avatar. The Game of Thrones thing didn't bother me as much because I love an evil queen. Spoiler alert, Michelle Pfeiffer's character is the bad guy, but I think you can pick that up from the previews.
It's pretty quick. That happens pretty quick. And we'll just talk spoilers going forward. This is just a new tale, right? Like, this isn't adapted from anything else.
No,
in
this is
Sleeping Beauty storyline, right? It's like,
no, this is on its own journey here.
Yeah, yeah. To be honest, too, I know I gave it a splash. I don't think we really needed this sequel.
No.
But, you know, Disney loves money and people
seeing
love
movies.
I don't know. What nostalgia shit. A couple of things that did bother me was, and like I said, this is spoilers going forward, is that at one point in the movie, like this beginning of the third act when like shit's going down, they're all ready to go to war. And then she gets like locked. Aurora figures it out. And then he gets locked up in her room all by her. This is supposed to be a wedding. And the fact that her fiance or the prince just like doesn't know what's going on with, there's people everywhere like armed up. Like
he's
no
busy
one's in the
talking
church.
To his cursed father. He's kneeling but at his bedside.
I get that, but there's no way in the amount of time that it took to get all those people loaded
Philip
up.
Philip is a dink. Like, he's just
I mean, his character didn't have really any substance except for being just like the good looking prince who like loves Aurora for Aurora or whatever and doesn't want to go to war or whatever. And then, you know, in the final scene or one of the final scenes is like, he's like, there will be no Doc Fang blood on whatever he says. And then like everyone just like stops fighting and you're like, okay.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of The Office when Michael Scott walks out and he's like, I declare bankruptcy. And it's like, that's not how that works. Like, yeah. I honestly, like, did not. I was like, oh, okay. So all these people got, oh, and we're having a wedding. Oh, and that little dude who, like, killed all the, oh, all right, cool. Like, it just, the last part just, like, ruined it all, really, for me. I was like, what? Are you serious?
That's what I'm saying. It was forgiving. The cool thing I did like about this, though, which I was hoping was going to be in the first one, and I think in the cartoon she turns into a dragon.
Yes. Right?
But this she one, does. she's a phoenix.
Yes.
And I thought that last scene when Michelle Pfeiffer like kills her, basically, I thought that scene was like really good. That 2 minutes or whatever, and then when she came back, I was like, cool. And then also it got really weird here too is with Michelle's Pfeiffer character. She starts running away. I'm like, where are you gonna go? Like,
right.
Everyone's yeah. And then you know her character falls apart very quickly.
I thought the costuming, especially when you see those final scenes, I thought the costuming was amazing. I mean, it's visually an awesome movie. I just thought it whatever.
The other thing that bothered me too was like, and it kept making me ask the questions over and over, is like, she thought she was the only person of this species.
The Dark Fae. Yeah. I don't know. Weird.
Did that ever explain? Like, did they even talk about that in the first one?
Like how she ended up alone in the realm by herself, but all the rest of them had taken off to form this weird tree colony that looks much like Avatar? I don't know. We don't, you know.
Oh, I see what you're saying with the visuals from Avatar. You know what I mean?
Like, they're like in this, and then like the humans are the bad guys, and they're these like spiritual earth creatures who just want to do good and have this twinkly magic. Like,
yeah, I mean, that was the other thing that was weird about it too, because she was like, all of a sudden they're like good people, but she's always been like an evil.
She's just been perceived.
Well, this one, I guess this one, yeah, this is the story is told from a different angle versus like where they also talked about this in the movie too, is when Michelle Pfeiffer character says, like, kept that legend going or whatever.
Right. I mean, when you look at things from a different perspective, villains aren't always villains. I think I wrote that in my notes. Villains are rarely villains when you look from the other side.
Yeah, much like Joker.
Shit is straight garbage.
I thought it was good. Like, it wasn't, again, much like Zombieland 2, they were both sequels we could probably live on without ever seeing, but...
Well, if we didn't have... When we talked off the pod, like, if we weren't reviewing... If we took out everything that wasn't a sequel, a remake, or based on a book, we would have reviewed two. Well, I mean, against Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was somewhat based on true events. The only thing that we would have reviewed this entire year would have been Good Boys.
Now, what about Peanut Butter Falcon? I thought about that.
Well, I wasn't. No, it's not a book. But I didn't review Peanut Butter Falcon, so I guess I should put it on there. But yeah, I mean, that's since July, we would have had two episodes.
That's just where Hollywood is. Ugh, right now.
God, get some creativity, folks.
People love the sequel.
Yeah.
That's why they're making another sequel to Stephen King's movie The Shining from like 20 years ago.
I know,
30 years ago.
I just finished reading The Shining and I started reading Doctor Sleep and I'm scared. Did you also, speaking of that, like all the previews before this were horrible. There was nothing that I wanted to see in the previews either. It all looked awful.
Well, speaking of previews and coming attractions, next week, Black and Blue comes out.
Yep.
You seem to be reminding me this movie comes out, so you must be really looking forward to seeing it. As well as Countdown, another movie that kind of just popped up out of nowhere.
Yep.
And you know what it reminds me of? It's a movie that came out a couple years ago. Truth or Dare?
Oh, that movie came out. But it was fun. It was fun. Bad funny scary movie.
Another one that was reminds me of too is Happy Death Day.
Yep. I never saw that.
I gotta go back and look at what I gave those ratings on that movie.
I know. I gotta work on that spreadsheet.
It's a lot of jelly in those donuts. Hey. Yeah. Stick around. Come Wednesday, we will have a brand new episode of G-Splash.
It's the Dog Show on
Earth. Haunted House of Horror Simpsons episode.
It's the annual Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode. Just happens to be 666, so that'll be cool. I'm excited for that. Comes on tonight over there on Fox, which now is owned by Disney. That's going to do it for this episode, but you can always hit us up in the email tip at gsplashbc@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of Maleficent, Zombieland 2, Double Tap, and Jojo Rabbit if it's playing in your area.
Yes. Send us an email.
Definitely. See who you sided with the most. Also, we have some G-Splash merch over there. The link is in the description below. And you can always hit us up.
Dope merch.
It's a dope show.
This the dope show.
You can also hit us up on the Instagram tip. I'm Bradley Baxter. This is Katie. We will see you next week. Go to the movies, baby.
Bye.